Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Tuesday. What is the date? The 8th of April. This is Michael Collins Piper here with you tonight. This is not a rebroadcast, and obviously it's not Mark Glenn, who very kindly sat in for me last night. I had a very busy weekend and a very busy day yesterday, and I just didn't feel like doing the show last night. So guess what? Mark Glenn, good friend that he is, a talented talk show host that he is, he sat in here last night, and while I haven't heard the program, Mark gave me a little bit of a rundown on it, and I am looking forward to listening to the archives. Don't forget, folks, we do have these archives here, and if you missed the shows, you can always go back to them, listen to your favorites over and over again. Well, I think from what I heard about last night's program, it's one that I definitely want to listen to, because Mark put forth what we might want to call some new ideas. May have been some ideas that some people didn't want to go along with, but you know what? That's something that I've been harping and carping about on this program since I first began broadcasting. That is that we kind of have to recognize that we are in new times. And maybe we have to start looking at things in a new way and shedding some of our old ideas, not because the ideas are bad or because they're even out of date, but because we've learned new things that give us new perspectives on things that are happening in our world today. One of the things I constantly talk about is this tired and worn idea, theory, misconception, misperception that Vladimir Putin and Russia are somehow an incarnation of the old Soviet Union, the old communist empire, that really nothing ever really changed in it, that the USSR, or I should say Russia, is simply waiting to take over the world and conquer the United States. There's still a lot of people who want to believe that, who not just want to believe it, who do believe it, despite all the evidence to the contrary. This is something, as I say, I talked about last weekend, or when was that? The weekend before, I guess. Time flies. When I was in California, speaking out there at the Freedom Law School. So it doesn't hurt for us to try to re-examine our thinking on a wide variety of issues, because, you know, if we don't do that, we're just going to sound like broken records. So I sometimes sound like a broken record here, saying over and over again that we should prepare ourselves to deal with new realities, new situations. Well, I have a big pile of clippings here in front of me. I'm kind of finally getting back into the swing of things. When I was out of town, I didn't have access to all my regular daily reading material. Didn't have much access to the internet, so I was a little bit out of touch with what was going on. Not that there's really anything new going on, but needless to say, it's good to kind of get back into the swing of things. So I'm going to be going through some press clippings here, some items that I found of interest, and maybe we can weave a little message together through that here in the program this evening. But I think I'll probably get around to taking some phone calls, so if you want to call in here and talk about whatever you want to talk about, that's fine. If you want to call in here and say what a great program that was with Mark Glenn, feel free to say it. If you want to call in and say that Mark Glenn should be strung up, you're welcome to do that too, but don't ask me to help pull the rope. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to break. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. using this same principle. Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention. Ron Paul did not quit. He is still in the race. Most Americans do not understand how the election process works. The media is lying. John McCain does not have the Republican nomination. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. After the mainstream media wrote a hit piece on how Ron Paul quit, many supporters quit as well. Ron Paul has stated he will continue his run for presidency as long as he has your continued support. Ron Paul has a plan. The delegates have not yet been voted on, and they are voted first in county, then state, all the way to the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win. That's ronpaulflags.com to find out more on how delegates work. Stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today, or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. You are listening to republicbroadcasting.org. I think you know that, but if you don't know it, you need to know it. This is the Republic Broadcasting Network. And I'm Mike Piper. I'm coming to you from Washington, D.C., which, of course, is the headquarters of American Free Press newspaper. If you are not familiar with American Free Press, check it out on the internet at AmericanFreePress.net. I'll talk maybe a little bit more about AFP, short for American Free Press, in a minute. But it was kind of interesting yesterday when I was out shuffling around, taking care of some things that I needed to do. I came across a very interesting article in the April 14th issue of the New Yorker magazine. And had I done the show last night, I would have talked last night about it. But guess what, folks? Mark Glenn inadvertently set the stage last night on this program for the discussion of this article tonight, which gets back into this concept of new ideas and new approaches to looking at things. Well, Mark Glenn set off a bonfire by speaking from his Christian perspective of a reconsideration, so to speak, of the Old Testament. Well, guess what? This article in the New Yorker is about a young lady. She's a, she's a PhD. She's a PhD. She's a professor at Barnard College. And her name is Nadia Abu El-Haj. Now, that's a Palestinian name. Her mother is not a Palestinian, but obviously she has a little bit of interest in the subject. And she wrote a book, which I mentioned here in this program some months ago. It was published by the University of Chicago Press in 2001. The title is kind of ponderous, even longer than some of the titles of my books. Her book is entitled Facts on the Ground, Archaeological Practice and Territorial Self-Fashioning in Israeli Society. Now, what's interesting is that Dr. El-Haj is, of course, a Palestinian, but what she has written about in her book is what Israeli archaeologists, Jewish archaeologists in Israel, have been saying for a long, long time. And she has written about their research, brought forth the facts about their research, kind of popularized it for an audience that may not be in tune to all the depths of history and archaeology that archaeologists work with. Well, anyway, the point is, as even so many Israeli archaeologists have been saying for a long, long time, although this is not something that you'll hear about on ABC or CBS or NBC, but the fact is that serious archaeology in Israel today raises serious questions about the Jewish claim to a history in Palestine. Well, Dr. El-Haj has written about this, and now she is under fire at Barnard College. She's seeking tenure, and there are people who are trying to keep her from getting tenure because they don't like what she's written. And now, the irony is, of course, that what she has written absolutely reflects what even Jewish archaeologists in Israel are saying, but there are hardline Jewish Zionists in this country who have waged this smear and fear campaign against Dr. El-Haj. And, of course, this is not the first time this has happened. But over the past few years, it's kind of funny. You know, for all these years on American campuses, people who criticized Israel or the Israeli lobby or any matter of discourse in this realm have been shouted down. They have been terrorized by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. Over the years, I can tell you that I have gotten probably dozens of letters from academics and other people who, going way, way back, I remember one elderly gentleman wrote me about 20 years ago talking about experiences he had like in the 1940s on the college campus where he taught, where he came under fire from the Anti-Defamation League for just simply reflecting upon what he saw when he was in the Middle East. I guess it would have been in the mid-50s. In fact, a few years ago, according to this article, and I had heard about it, there was a film made called Columbia Unbecoming, a Jewish organization put this film together saying that Jewish students were being basically intimidated by professors of the Middle East studies at Columbia University. Now, Nadia Abu El-Haj, although she was affiliated apparently with Columbia at some point, she wasn't part of the subject here. But it's very interesting. Even according to the New Yorker, which of course is published in New York by the very powerful Zionist family, the Newhouse family, this reports that the professors accused in Columbia Unbecoming were not interviewed in the film, but 10 students and recent graduates did most of the talking. And what's interesting is, it said several had their faces pixelated and their voices digitally masked, like witnesses in a protection program. In other words, the point is, was to make it appear as these people's lives were in danger because they were supporters of Israel on an American campus. And of course we've had these Jewish organizations crying and moaning about the suppression of Jewish students on American campuses, and even the Bush administration's Department of Education put out a boo-hoo-hoo report on the topic a couple years ago. But it's always been quite the opposite, ladies and gentlemen. And this is what we have happening to Dr. El-Haj today. Not the first time it's happened. It won't be the last time that it's happened. But here's something interesting that I found in this New Yorker article, and it's the author of the article's name is Jane Kramer, K-R-A-M-E-R. I don't know if she's Jewish. It doesn't matter whether she's Jewish or not, but here's what she writes, and the reason why I find this significant is because there are so many people who are quick to say that, you know, not all Jews support Israel, which not all Jews do support Israel. Probably one out of every 1,000, maybe one out of every 10,000 are outspoken anti-Zionists. But in any case, here is what Jane Cramer writes. She said, "A million Jews live in New York, more than any other city in the world except Tel Aviv, and it is safe to say that whenever something involving Jews unsettles the Columbia campus, uptown in Morningside Heights, New Yorkers know." She says, "There is, of course, no such thing as a New York Jewish vote." Listen to this very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. She says, I repeat, "There is no such thing as a New York Jewish vote. There is an Israel vote. Israel is the cause that can raise a constituency out of an otherwise fractious and famously skeptical Jewish population and push it into a kind of collective panic." In other words, although the Jewish community has many differences on many issues and will fight among themselves, in New York, where the big Jewish vote happens to be, there is no New York Jewish vote. There is an Israel vote. So keep that in mind. You know, we have to continue to recognize the fact that Israel is a major subject of concern to the Jewish community. Now, what's kind of interesting is, now this is very, very interesting, particularly those of you who are Republicans and those of you who don't like Democrats. A poll was taken by, was commissioned by the Israel Project, which is a hardline group supporting Israel, one of many here in the United States. 85% of those supporting John McCain are strong supporters of Israel, whereas 62% of those backing Barack Obama and 48% of those for Hillary Rodham Clinton are strong supporters of Israel. Now, that's very, very interesting. That means that 42% of Hillary Clinton's supporters are not hardline supporters of Israel, of whatever religion they happen to be. Now, that means then that 38% of Barack Obama's supporters are not supporting Israel. And of the people who polled here, there were only 3% of the people who described themselves as being Jewish. So the fact is, you find more hardline supporters of Israel backing, there are more hardline supporters of Israel in the Republican Party than there are in the Democratic Party. Now, that I find to be very, very interesting. Speaking of Israel, now we know that genocide is wrong. We hear that every day. We hear about the genocide of the Jews during World War II, and we do know that genocide includes not just killing people, but includes the forcible relocation of a population. Well, now listen to this. The Israeli Knesset channel, found that 76% of Israeli Jews give some degree of support to transferring Arabs now living in Israel to a future Palestinian state. Well, as much as it may surprise you, not all of the Arabs, Christian or Muslim, living in Israel necessarily want to be uprooted and transferred to a new Palestinian state. But 76% of the people of Israel, the Israeli Jews, are advocates of genocide. 76% of the people who most complain about genocide are advocates of genocide. Now, I always talk about double standards and hypocrisy on this program, and I think that is probably the utmost. Okay, we are going to a break, ladies and gentlemen. Stay tuned.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. A few more items to go through. We've got some callers lined up, and I'm going to try to get around to them as soon as possible. Talking about the angry rhetoric and thinking of so many people in Israel, it might have to do something with the fact that some of the top rabbis in Israel are really egregious hate mongers. Rabbi Herschel Schachter of Yeshiva University's Rabbinical School said that Israel's prime minister should be shot if his government tries to, quote-unquote, give away Jerusalem. Now, this is a rabbi who trains other rabbis. He's calling for the shooting of the Israeli prime minister. Well, he apologized for that. But then we have another chief rabbi of a group called Sfat. S-F-A-T, that's how I'm pronouncing it, Rabbi Shmuel Eliyahu. He said that he wants to, quote-unquote, hang from a high tree the young children of the terrorist responsible for that attack at the yeshiva in Israel some time ago, not long ago. He said that Arabs must be, quote-unquote, made to understand very well the language of revenge. He wants to hang children from a high tree. I wonder what should be done to that rabbi. That's a clergyman, ladies and gentlemen. Another rabbi, who happens to be the father of this rabbi, Eliyahu, he was a chief Sephardi rabbi of Israel. He said that the 2005 tsunami with preemptive divine punishment for Asian government support of Israel's withdrawal from Gaza. That's the former chief Sephardi rabbi of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I often hear people, even callers to this program, calling in and say, oh, well, the Sephardic Jews are the good Jews. They're not the evil Ashkenazis who are really descendants of the Khazars. But here is a former chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel saying that the Asian governments suffered divine punishment for supporting Israel's withdrawal from Gaza. Another chief Sephardi rabbi, Rabbi Yosef, he said it's permissible to kill anyone who thinks evil thoughts about yeshiva students. In other words, if we don't like the fact that these yeshiva students are preaching hatred for non-Jews, which they are, it's permissible to kill people. Folks, these are clergymen we're talking about. Clergymen, leaders of their people in a country where these clergymen are particularly powerful and influential. Dear God. Well, there is a bright note in Scotland. Well, it's a bright note as far as I'm concerned, and as far as anyone who believes in Scottish nationalism is concerned. The Scottish National Party is becoming very, very outspoken through its leader, Alex Salmond. I don't know if that's pronounced correctly. His name is spelled S-A-L-M-O-N-D. Well, the Washington Times newspaper has called him Scotland's Huey Long. In an article written by Tom Gallagher, who is a scholar, quote-unquote, at the National Endowment for Democracy. Well, the National Endowment for Democracy is an old-time Zionist front. You can look it up on the Internet and find out some of the people involved in this operation. All hardline supporters of Israel. Well, they don't like Alex Salmond. Very interesting that they compare him to Huey Long. You remember what happened to Huey Long, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't, look him up on the Internet. They put a bullet through Huey Long, ladies and gentlemen. Yep, this Scottish nationalist, I predict, ladies and gentlemen, he may end up the new Vladimir Putin. He may end up the new Hugo Chavez. He may end up the new Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. But you know, the good thing about this is, ladies and gentlemen, those who reign supreme here in America, those who control the media, they've got a little bit of a problem here because there are these people all over the world who are daring to thumb their nose to those who reign supreme. And Alex Salmond of Scotland apparently is one of them. God bless Mr. Salmond. Well, Hillary Clinton wants to reign supreme here in America. I don't know if she's going to, but we all heard the news that in 8 years after leaving the presidency, the Clintons earned, I guess, at least $109 million. What's very, very interesting is if you read the stories in detail, you find out who two of the Clintons' associates were in helping them earn a big portion of this cash. One of them is Ron Burkle, B-U-R-K-L-E. He's a grocery store tycoon from California, a Zionist grocery store tycoon. Another one is Chaim Sabin, who's a major power in the media. Many people haven't heard of him, but folks, he was born in Israel. Now he's here in the United States. Those are some of the people who made the Clintons very, 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 very rich. Okay, well, we got a lot of callers lined up here, folks, and we are going to the break, and I think we will go right to the callers when we come back. So, you callers out there, thank you for your patience. We'll be right with you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Ladies and gentlemen, please pay attention. Ron Paul did not quit. He is still in the race. Most Americans do not understand how the election process works. The media is lying. John McCain does not have the Republican nomination. The popular vote is just a straw poll, believe it or not. The delegates have the power over the elections, not the voters. After the mainstream media wrote a hit piece on how Ron Paul quit, many supporters quit as well. Ron Paul has stated he will continue his run for presidency as long as he has your continued support. Ron Paul has a plan. The delegates have not yet been voted on, and they are voted first in county, then state, all the way to the national convention. Go to our website at ronpaulflags.com and click on Why Ron Paul Will Win. That's ronpaulflags.com to find out more on how delegates work. Stand your ground, go for the win, and fly a Ron Paul flag today. Or call 731-664-1526 for more information. That's 731-664-1526.
Do you want to know right now how you can drive around using water as fuel and laugh at rising gas costs? Then keep listening for a very special offer. GasFreedom.info has all the information you need to learn about a simple technology you can have right now. Gas Freedom is a do-it-yourself, affordable, practical, free energy device. It uses a little electricity from your car's battery to separate water into a gas called HHO. HHO, also called Brown's gas, burns beautifully and provides tons of energy, while the end product is just water. Visit GasFreedom.info now to learn more. In just 10 minutes, you will discover exactly how this is possible.
This is the secret the oil and auto industry doesn't want you to know.
Go to GasFreedom.info to learn how very easy it is to extract energy from water to run your car. Go to GasFreedom.info for this special offer. Turn any car into a hybrid for $300. Use the passcode RBN and receive $49 off. That's GasFreedom.info or call 239-628-3708. That's 239-628-3708. 239-628-3708.
Hey everybody, this is James Martinez from the Cashflow Show. I want to ask you one question and one question only. You're ready to change your life. Now, as you begin to think about that question, how many of you are swimming in credit card debt, tired of credit cards controlling your life, behind on your payments, struggling to make ends meet, all that, worried about your financial well-being? You're going to end that now. Enough is enough. This is hot. Are you ready to feel good now? That's right. Call our toll-free number and listen to our 12-minute overview. It explains who we are and what we do to end your credit card debt. Leave your name and number after the message and do it today. Call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655. Freedom is a phone call away. Away. Away for you to feel good now. 888-213-7655. 888-213-7655. 213-7655.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. One of the benefits of doing this program from my home is that I can do laundry. So if I sound like I'm out of breath, it's because I just ran back from the laundry room. You know, if somebody died and left me $1 million, my one extravagance would be that I would start sending my laundry out. Well, that ain't going to happen, so I guess I'm going to be doing laundry for a long, long time. Anyway, let's go to the callers here. We have Frank calling from Canada. Frank, come on up.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing tonight?
Oh, well, let's see. I'm surrounded by Shabbos Goyakins, so that should tell me something. I'll tell you, I live in a continent where logic means nothing and fallacy means all. It's a really laughable thing when I'm seeing on the media Americans, and I'm sorry to say this, but to my American friends, when I see Americans holding violent demonstrations and planning violent demonstrations because of the Chinese occupation of Tibet, but they have no problem at all with the violent Israeli occupation of Palestine, the Lebensraum, the ethnic cleansings, and
isn't
the illegal
that
settlements. You know, it's not interesting because when you have a bunch of people who obviously base their lives on the protocols of the learned elders of Zion running your media, it doesn't really surprise me.
You know, I tell you, it's very interesting. Years ago, Mark Lane told me, and of course Mark Lane is Jewish, but he's always been very anti-Zionist and a critic of Israel. Years ago, he tried to get Jane Fonda, who he knew very well. He was Fonda Jane during the Vietnam War. He knew her very, very well, and he tried to get her and her husband, Tom Hayden, the very liberal California activist, to join him in protesting and criticizing Israel.
Yep.
They didn't want to do it because, well, it just was not in their interest to do it.
Well,
they knew better, but so many of these people that you're talking about, they have been so propagandized and indoctrinated by the press that they don't realize that the things they're protesting in Tibet are the same things that are going on in Palestine.
Well, actually, it's worse because at least in 1951, the Tibetan government agreed to become a part of China. They agreed. There was a treaty. Tibet agreed to become a part of China. The West Bank, East Jerusalem, Gaza, they never agreed to become a part of Israel. That's a belligerent military occupation.
Good point.
But let's be honest. When in America, Jewish supremacist hate groups like the Anti-Decency League are actually accepted as legitimate human rights groups, there is a really huge problem there. I'm sorry for the stammering, but I'm just amazed at events that have happened the last week. Like, I was listening to a Dr. Hesham Talawi show. And did you hear it this past week?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm.
Now, it's absolutely amazing to me that a person, and I intend no disrespect to Dr. Talawi. I think he's a genuinely decent man, but I kind of describe him as nauseatingly tolerant when it comes to a certain tribe. And for the
well, he and Mark Glenn, in fact, I listened to the show on Saturday while I was doing some work.
Yeah,
he and Mark do butt heads together sometimes.
Oh,
on Mark Glenn on that issue.
And for the Atomic Defecation League, excuse me for saying that one, but I'm going to get a little Talmud here for a second. For them to actually come out and call him an anti-Semite illustrates two things. Number one, they have no idea what the word means, which I think was well illustrated by the $10 million lawsuit they lost in Denver. And two, they are so afraid of people that they cannot refute. They are so afraid of people that they cannot stand up to in a rational debate that they have to go to this get-out-of-debate-free card known as the anti-Semitism card.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And, mm-hmm. that's what they did. Because I got to tell you, I do listen to Dr. Hesham Talawi's show every weekend. And, you know, goodness bless him and all. But I always say to myself, it's like, Doc, you don't seem to get it.
Well, you know what? In Hesham's defense, I mean, I think he comes across pretty tough talking in many instances, but I can understand why you would react as you do. But, you know, I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
I think considering the fact that he is indeed a Palestinian and a Muslim to boot, I think that even he, despite all that, even he has been cowed enough by the name callers and the brickbat tossing of groups such as the Anti-Defamation League that even he, maybe subconsciously, feels the need to try to be nice.
Sure.
I understand that.
I understand that.
Yeah, it's, you know what I mean? Because, after all, let's face it, Hesham has an accent.
Oh, yeah.
He's a little darker than the rest of us.
Mm.
He has a name that is not easily pronounceable, and he does happen to be a Palestinian and a Muslim, and that combination on American soil today, that combination, sadly enough, is a combination that scares a lot of people. A lot of people probably think he might be out there building bombs.
Well, you know what? The thing is, with Dr. Talawi, I do respect him, and I'm not trying to badmouth him.
I understand that. I think if he's listening right now, he would understand exactly what you're saying.
But you know what I'd like to see him do? And I really would like Dr. Talawi to do this. I don't know if he did it. I didn't hear the whole show. But I'd like for him to say, you know what? You accused me of this, ADL. You're obviously listening to my show. Call me up. Let's debate. Put up or shut up.
Mm. They never do, though. That's the whole thing.
They wouldn't be, because I'll say it publicly. The ADL is a Jewish supremacist, cowardly hate group that hides behind its canards, and basically they illustrate everything Hitler said in Mein Kampf. I'm really sorry to say that, folks, but that's how I see them.
Well, you know, here's the thing. If it's a matter of calling a spade, and in this case, a spade is a spade.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Mike. And if I can just say something about the Yesho Rabbinical Council, you mentioned them earlier. A couple of years ago, they actually issued a statement saying that there's no such thing as innocence in war. There's no such thing as an innocent person in war. And they said that to the their troops. They said that to the Israeli people. So in spite of the Hague Conventions, in spite of the Fourth Geneva Convention, oh, heck, in spite of the first of Fourth Geneva Conventions, they said, told the world that there is no such thing as an innocent person in war. Now, you have to wonder how many IDF jackbooted thugs who have been shooting up Palestinian children have taken that to heart.
Well, you know, I tell you, here's the way I look at something like that.
Yeah.
It is a double standard.
Oh, yes.
It is a double standard. They're the ones who are always talking about war crimes. They're always talking about genocide. But you know what?
Yep.
You know what? If a Palestinian said something like that, that would be all over the evening news.
Oh, yeah, like they
John McCain would be crying tears about it.
Mayhem McCain, oh, yeah, that's
yeah,
that's
you know,
the one
so,
love.
So, yeah, I mean, so then when, and like I said, this rabbi earlier talking about hanging the children, the little children of someone, you know, if I were to come on here and say that rabbi should be hung for making threats against those little children, people would say, oh, my God, Michael Piper has made a call for violence against a Jewish clergyman. You know what I mean? It would be turned in, the whole thing would be turned around. But
I'm sure
here a leading Jewish clergyman can talk that way, and no one bats an eyelash.
Well, you know, Mike, it's really, maybe I'm just a little over-emotional tonight, but I'm getting so sick and tired of the double standards, the hypocrisy.
Well, you know, Frank, that's the problem. These double standards and the hypocrisy are what is winning. I use that term very loosely and generally here. That is winning America so many enemies around the world, because the rest of the world isn't dancing to the Zionist tune. Like I said earlier, you know, we have Mr. Salman in Scotland, Mr. Ahmadinejad, Mr. Chavez, and the other leaders of South America who are friendly to him.
Yeah.
You know, and they know what's going on in this country. They know that America, while it still has, theoretically, has its borders on the map, we lost our sovereignty a long time ago. Not when Ronald Reagan gave amnesty to millions of illegal aliens and allowed many more millions to come across our borders. No, we lost our sovereignty in 1913 when the Federal Reserve System was created, which thereby turned the American economy over to the Rothschild Empire. And that's exactly what happened, and it's only gotten worse since then.
Yep, and America fell under foreign occupation in 1948.
Exactly right.
And I'll tell you, it's been a very big tragedy ever since. But in closing, I just like to, you know, for those who do seem to want to make a distinction between good and bad, I just like to ask those people a simple thing. Okay, now the Jewish people were apparently persecuted in old biblical times under the Romans. They've been expelled from how many European countries? The Nazis wanted to Holocaust them, and apparently did. And there's Palestinians who are willing to put on bombs and blow themselves up just to take a few of these people out. Now, at what point is someone going to say, you know, geez, maybe it's not the people who are hurting them that happens to be the problem here?
That's exactly right. I mean, we need to start, you know, I always say, I've said this for years when I hear about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
If it happened, as they say it did, and 6 million Jews, maybe 12 million died, who knows the numbers they claim these days, if it happened, it happened for a reason, and there must have been some reason why so many people in all the countries of Europe went along with it.
Oh, sure.
So I think we ought to start looking at that side of it rather than the forensic details of it, because, you know, we can debate the numbers endlessly. But I want to know why 6 million, maybe 10 or 12 million, were killed. And it wasn't because Adolf Hitler held a bayonet to the back of every German's head, to the back of every Ukrainian's head, to the back of every Pole's head.
Well, you have to think about this. The Germans in the Germans were actually the most technologically advanced and civilized people around. Now, why would all of a sudden would they resort to that kind of a measure to get rid of an innocent group of people, if that's what they were?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I mentioned on this show before, and I actually mentioned in a telephone conversation with somebody earlier tonight, Saul Friedlander's two volumes on the Holocaust. And what I found probably the most interesting series of quotations in the book was that even though there were all these resistance movements against German occupation in various countries in Europe, invariably, according to this distinguished Jewish historian, a lot of these resistance leaders in France, in, three, four, five other places, they would essentially, according to Mr. Friedlander, they were essentially saying, well, we don't like the Germans occupying our country. We want our national sovereignty. But on the other hand, the Germans have the right idea about the Jews. Now, this is a Jewish historian writing this, not Mike Piper creating it up out of the whole cloth. As I say, and it kind of goes parallel to what you're saying, I think maybe we need to start looking at that other side of the coin, because it is, there are two sides to every coin.
Well, you know, too, I mean, we can go back through history and see the kind of destructive movements these people have put together. Like me, I tend to create a firestorm when I make a reference to Judeo-Bolshevism.
That's right.
Now, if we look at the names Sverdlov, Kamenev, and all of these, you know, the first leaders of the Bolshevik governments of Soviet Russia, these are not Buddhist names. And, you know, like, these are not Buddhist people.
Not even Muslims.
No, they changed some of their names. Like Trotsky was actually Lev Bronstein. But if you actually look, some of the most destructive, vicious, freedom-stripping movements have been created by these folks. Like, I was watching, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but I have it, and it's a 1940 Nazi film, and it's called The Eternal Jew.
I've seen that.
And I got to tell you something. A lot of what I saw described in that film is happening today by segments of this certain tribe. And when I saw I almost threw up when I saw the bit on ritual slaughter, for example. You know, and I'm seeing a lot of this. And I'm thinking, you know, a lot of what they're describing in 1940, I can't speak for every detail of it, but I can. But when I look at the patterns, I see a lot of it reflected in what I'm seeing today from these folks.
Absolutely, you know, and it all comes from that book that we, or that series of writings that we talk about here on this program, the Talmud. And you know, as Mark Glenn was pointing out, you know, if you really get back into it and start looking into the Old Testament, you find a lot of really horrible things attributed to these people. So
can I mention one more thing?
I'm sorry.
Can I mention one more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I remember the Julianus Mathis debate on the Truth Jihad radio show.
Okay.
I'm sure you remember that debate.
Yeah.
When they were going on about the Talmud, I noticed, and I'm not putting down the host. Once again, I'm a big fan of Dr. Barrett's show, and I really like Giuliani's show. But I have to say that I found that nobody challenged Mathis on the actual negative points of the Talmud. No one brought up the most disgusting aspects of the book to really paint him in a corner. They actually, and I'm sure it was inadvertently, they were trying to be polite to a maniac.
Sure, it's like if you run into Jack the Ripper in the alley, you really should be nice to him. Yeah.
But you know what? They let him get away with just giving a history lesson of the book instead of getting into the most vicious, vile, anti-Jesus, anti-child segments of it.
Well, Ted Pike did call in. TedPike of TruthTellers.org. Ted did call in. And
Mathis tore at him.
Yeah, but I think Ted also got a lot of information out there that needed to be heard.
He did. And
good
I gotta,
for Ted.
Yeah, and I'm sorry for over-talking here, Mike. I don't mean to, but I'm really on fire tonight.
I know what you're talking about. You have no apologies due here.
Because I'll tell you, you know, everything from, and I'm not going to go into exact details here, but everything from a child being obtainable by in intercourse at age 3.
Talmud, exactly. It's just stuff that you just, you know, this is a holy book.
Yeah, and the defenders of the Talmud, if you noticed, once again, obfuscation, trying to accuse everybody else of being ignorant, going into the meaningless drivel surrounding it. And the problem is, in the West, out of politeness, and one thing I found with RBN, I hear people saying it's a anti-Semitic network. I found that RBN is probably the politest, has the politest group of talk shows. Talk show host in the business. I think you guys are exceedingly polite. If I was in that debate with Mathis, I would have been tearing him a new rear end because I would have said, listen, there's going to be no more obfuscation here. Let's talk about this verse, and this corresponding footnote. That's what I want to talk about.
Oh, you know, I tell you, you know, as far as my feelings on that, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want them to be able to say that I was saying things on the air, but people can look up the Talmud for themselves just by going to Google.
You're done.
And there's the Talmud Unmasked is a very, very good book that's up on the internet. People can look it up for themselves if they have any doubt about what you're saying or what I'm saying, or they can read the new book, Jesus in the Talmud, by a professor at Princeton University.
Okay,
Frank,
well,
I got to go here. We have the break coming up. I thank you for your call.
Thank you, too, Mike, for listening to me. Okay, bye.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare with your children being raised by someone else? With our free information, you can lead a less stressful life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was about to be laid off from a company that was going bankrupt. On top of that, I wanted my kids to have mommy care, not daycare. My first month, I made $1,000 part-time. After 90 days, I was home with my children. And for the past 7 years, I've been here for my three little girls. I love this business.
Go to freedom94.com. Get out of the rat race and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I was skeptical. However, I had to get out of corporate America. Both me and my wife were able to quit our jobs and now make over $10,000 a month from home.
Go to freedom94.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 94.com. Freedom94.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
All right, folks, welcome back. We only have a few minutes left here. We'll try to squeeze in one more caller, but I do need to tell you about one of our sponsors here, one of our new sponsors, internet-grocer.net, just like it sounds, internet-grocer, G-R-O-C-E-R.net. They are urging you now to start stocking up. Be prepared for the kind of emergencies that are very, very possible in these tough times, ladies and gentlemen. They've got everything from dehydrated and freeze-dried foods to canned meats, canned cheese, and canned butter. You better stock up now, folks, because, you know, I tell you, don't count on your local grocery store in tough times, and I think tough times are coming for this country sooner than later. So don't get caught with an empty pantry. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net. All right, have a couple minutes here, only a couple. Let's go to Cage from Indiana. Sorry about that, Cage, but we want to squeeze you in.
Hey, all right. I know I only have a few minutes, so I'll be as brief. You know, I called him. I forgot why I called, Mike. But, you know, I was hearing the comments, and I've got to mention this, gee whiz, in regards to the Holocaust. You know, I come from, you know, a Germanic background, and I'm kind of proud of it, and I'm kind of a humanitarian in a way. And I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have been one of the 45 or 65 people that knew about the liquidation of an entire race of people. I'm sorry. And, you know, a lot of people don't even consider that angle when it comes to the argument against the propaganda of the Holocaust. I mean, the fact that people could have that in their hearts and, you know, the Vatican wouldn't know about the Red Cross. I mean, gosh dang, something's wrong there, isn't there?
Well, you know, this is what it comes down to, that, you know, you have to keep in mind that originally the story was, oh, it was just Hitler and the evil Nazis who did it. Then they started expanding the list of the criminals who assisted the Nazis or otherwise looked the other way. It was the Vatican, then it was the Ukrainians, and then it was IBM, and then it was this group, and then it was that group, and now everybody in the world is collectively responsible. So, it used to be that Austria was a poor little victim of Germany, and then finally they decided, no, actually, the Austrians really did like Adolf Hitler, and Austria bears responsibility for the Holocaust. So,
yeah.
You know, it's like, who's next?
Burn them all.
Yeah, well, now the United States government, even FDR himself didn't do enough.
He turned away some Jews in Cuba, didn't he, or something like that?
But it goes on and on and on, you know, and there are books written about it. They hold conferences to discuss it. And basically the bottom line is everybody in the world should bear immense guilt and pay out millions and billions and trillions of dollars to the state of Israel forever and ever and ever because, well, we're all bad. And they're God's chosen people, and they really got kicked around because they didn't do anything at all. Everybody was mad at them because they were God's chosen people.
And we tried to kill them.
And we tried to kill them all, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we wanted.
Well,
we wanted them all dead.
My father and three of his brothers fought in World War II. My father spent 6 months in a veterans hospital with malaria, but nonetheless, he wouldn't have gotten malaria if he'd have stayed home and been the railroad engineer that he was. My father didn't have to go into the service. But he enlisted, but yet he was still responsible for the Holocaust, too.
Yep.
What can I say? Cage, I'm sorry we didn't have more time for you.
Right.
Apologize to a couple other callers we couldn't bring up. We'll be here tomorrow night, God willing. Thanks for listening in, folks.
Gasoline price.